From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Crowds are swelling in downtown Cairo despite warnings from the authorities. Tens of thousands are gathering, calling for the ouster of President Hosni Mubarak. Mubarak's move to fire his cabinet and institute reforms has not mollified protesters. NPR's Saraya Sarhadi Nelson is in Cairo.
They're chanting their slogans. It's abundantly clear that they're not happy with the pronouncements that President Hosni Mubarak made. He, of course, said he had dissolved his cabinet as of last night and that he is now going to form a new cabinet. But everyone on the street, what they've been calling for since Tuesday and even actually before then, is for him to leave. They are done with this president. They want a new president. They want a new party. They just want freedom and democracy, and they will settle for no less.
NPR's Saraya Sarhadi Nelson in Cairo. Soldiers and tanks are on the streets of the capital, but they have not interfered with the protesters. However, there are reports of clashes in the northern Egyptian city of Alexandria. President Obama wants the business community to help speed up the economic recovery. He's promoting business innovation as a key building block to creating more jobs.
That's how America will win the future. By out-innovating, out-educating, and out-building our competitors.
Mr. Obama was speaking in his weekly address. He taped his message earlier this week when he visited a Wisconsin company that specializes in solar power and energy-efficient technologies. He's proposing a tax credit to encourage companies that undertake research. In the GOP address, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson says big government is blocking job creation, not helping it.
Huge deficits, slow economic activity, high unemployment, and woefully inadequate job creation are severe symptoms of the problem. They are not the root cause. The ever-expanding size, scope, and cost of government is.
Johnson says the nation will be better off when government ends its dependence on spending. In Afghanistan, a bomb has killed the deputy governor of southern Kandahar province. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports it's the latest in a string of assassinations.
A spokesman said Deputy Governor Abdullatif Ashan was on his way to work at the governor's office in Kandahar when a suicide bomber on a motorcycle pulled up next to his car and exploded. A surge of American troops has apparently cleared Taliban fighters out of insurgent strongholds around Kandahar province. But in the city, death squads operate with near impunity. Minor government officials and tribal elders are commonly targeted, but senior figures like Ashan also live under constant threat. The attack comes one day after a suicide bomber in Kabul killed 9 people at a supermarket in a heavily guarded part of the city where many embassies are located. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. The number of injuries are up in pro football. A new report put out by the NFL Players Union says injury rates in several categories increased this year in comparison to the previous 8 seasons. And NPR's Tom Goldman says the new numbers could play a part in the difficult labor negotiations between the NFL and the union.
The report, titled Dangers of the Game, says during the 2010 regular season, 63% of NFL players had at least one injury. That compares to 59%, the average for regular seasons from 2002 to 2009. Numbers also increased greatly, according to the report, for players put on season-ending injured reserve, an indication, the union says, of more severe injuries. But the NFL says players go on IR for different reasons, not just because they're badly hurt. One of the sticking points in negotiations for a new labor contract is the owner's desire to extend the regular season by 2 games. The union says that would put players at more risk. The new report, in the union's mind, supports that position, and it's sure to be argued as the two sides try to avoid the league's first work stoppage since 1987. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Belgium's Kim Clijsters has won her first Australian Open title. She won the title today, having to make a comeback after dropping the first set to China's Li Na. The men's final pits Britain's Andy Murray against Serbia's Novak Djokovic. Murray says he's looking forward to it.
We haven't come up against each other for, I think, over 2 years now. You know, we've practiced a lot together. We get on well together.
Murray is carrying the expectations of a nation on his shoulders. No British man has won a Grand Slam tournament in 75 years. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News from Washington.